So we've been going through the book of Romans, and we're now at Romans 15. But we're going to start at Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive. Sensitive about things like this. Reaching back to Romans 14 there. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insulted you, God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praise to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope in him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord to God's people. Brother Shiju, I want to pray for you. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. All right, let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the God of hope. You are the author of peace. You are the one who has made yourself known to us through your scriptures, through your Son Jesus, and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through our brother. Lord, that you would give him the strength to say what you have for him to say. And we trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Soma. Sorry about the raspy voice. I'm going through puberty. Finally. There's a first for everything, and I hope you will show me great grace today as I preach from the Word. Well, let's dive right in. You know, last week, Warren preached an incredible message to us on the author Paul's new section on how we must be sensitive toward people's consciences of what is right and what is wrong or sinful to them. Warren beautifully summarized the section by saying God's concern and your concern must be about your disposition rather than your position on disputable matters. You can watch yourself growing more like Jesus when you are more focused on your disposition toward those you disagree with rather than your position. And today, Paul is wrapping up this section on the matters of conscience. But human beings, including Christians, can be easily deceived about what is right and what is wrong. It is so easy for us to believe something to be true until someone challenges us. Does anyone here like to be told they're wrong? If you are a Christian, you commit your entire life getting better at looking at the world through the lens of the Bible. How much of the Bible would you say informs the way you think and the way you live your life? Those who are from the Western part of the world, like the United States, we typically view the world and the Bible from an individualistic perspective. How does the Bible benefit me? How does Christianity benefit me and my little family? How does the church benefit me and my little family? What does God want me to do? But let's remember that the Bible was written in the eastern part of the world. And those who are part of the eastern world view the world from a communal perspective. The questions they typically ask in Asia, in the Middle East, and in Rome at the time of this letter are not, how does the Bible benefit me? Instead, they ask, how does the Bible benefit us? How does Christianity benefit us? How does the church benefit us? They don't ask, what does God want me to do? But rather they ask, what does God want us to do? And I was born in an immigrant Eastern household. And it was ingrained in me, or at least my parents tried to teach me whenever I wasn't high as a kite, to always consider the needs of my community before my own. So remember that the Roman Christians Paul is writing to are operating from this same framework. And this is Paul's main point in this section of Romans 15. Live in harmony with God's people who put their hope in God. Be considerate of those who disagree with you. Whether they are strong or weak, they have the same Spirit of God indwelling in them that is inside of you. The worst thing we can do to each other is be inconsiderate. What does it mean to be inconsiderate? One example would be to try to get someone you disagree with to change their mind on what they believe when they don't want to change their mind. Or to dismiss them by ignoring them or pulling a Seattle Freeze on them. No laugh today. Is it my voice? Or treating them as inferior or lesser. In this specific situation in Rome, Paul identifies the strong believers as those who have a clear conscience toward eating anything they want, drinking wine that was contaminated by pagan religious practices, and no longer following the strict rules of the law of Moses when it comes to when they should fast and when they should pray. Paul is calling them strong because they have an accurate view on their liberty in Christ. The Christians in Rome are free to eat and drink anything they want. But here's Paul's response to them. Don't be a jerk about it, okay? Don't rub it in the faces of those who disagree with you. Be considerate and be sensitive to their needs. Because your needs come second to the needs of your church family. Paul is telling us here that we should not be focused on pleasing ourselves or on proving our brothers and sisters wrong. Instead, he says in verse 2, we should help them to do what is right and to build them up. The weak are not doing anything wrong, but they have a wrong but not sinful view. Christians should challenge each other toward knowing God more accurately in the Bible. And Christians should challenge each other toward obeying God behaviorally in how they live their lives. The early Christian church in the first century did not make decisions in isolation. It took a village to move the ship forward. Because every decision has a communal impact. Christians should challenge, but they should also kill their own personal agenda and be respectful and be considerate and be sensitive toward their needs. And why should we do that? Because Paul says in verses 3 and 4 that Christ did not live to please himself. And he quotes Psalm 69 that the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. When your brother or sister in Christ has a belief about something that is not consistent with their freedom in Jesus, we are not only to be respectful, sensitive, and considerate toward them. Paul says we are also to become weak for them, in the same way Jesus became weak for us. Jesus the strong entered human history, putting on a skin suit, God in human flesh, and he became weak to live among human beings. Paul is reminding us here that you and I are weak and that Jesus became weak so that we might become strong. Jesus became weak by becoming a human being. He lived among humans. He lived as a human. His family abandoned him. His friends abandoned him, and his nickname was a man of sorrows. And then humans killed Jesus, and he rose from the dead to save all humans who would believe in him. Jesus was resurrected to make humans strong, by resurrecting them from being a dead person to being alive in God. Have you been made alive in God? Give your life to Jesus. He died for you and he loves you. We Christians are to become strong because we went from living for pleasing ourselves to become lovers of God. And if you don't believe in Jesus, then this concept is not going to work for you. For the atheist, or the agnostic, or the non-religious person, the unspoken framework is that the strong eats the weak. Survival of the fittest. But Christianity says that true strength comes from being weak. Just like our founder, Jesus Christ, the God who left his position of strength to become weak. Paul says in verse 4 that these things were written in the Bible to teach us and to give us knowledge. He says the Bible gives us hope and encouragement for those who are strong to build up the weak by becoming weak for them. Those who are strong become weak by entering into their story, like Jesus entered into our story. We listen to each other's stories, like Jesus knows our story. And those who are strong become weak to the point where they do everything the weak do except participate in their weak position. In another letter to a church in a Roman colony called Corinth, Paul writes this about a similar issue they were facing. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. The Bible scholar Douglas Moo, who's probably the top scholar on the book of Romans, he writes this about the strong's posture. Those who pride themselves on their strength are obliged to use that strength to, notice, bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength in this matter. Paul is not urging the strong simply to tolerate or to put up with the weak and their scruples. But what it does mean is that they are sympathetically to enter into their attitudes, refrain from criticizing and judging them, and do what love would require toward them. Love demands that the strong go beyond the distance implied in mere toleration. They are to treat the weak as brothers and sisters. When I became a Christian as a young adult, I was taught from the Bible that drinking alcohol is a sin. And my friends and my relatives who were not Christian would often antagonize me and pressure me to have a drink. Like, come on, should you just have a drink, man? Don't be a wuss. Come on, just drink. And they would make fun of me for my views. But today, I see that Scripture teaches that drinking alcohol is not a sin and is a gift from God that can be abused and is often abused. And so, because of my past experience and because there are believers who today, like myself 14 years ago, consider drinking alcohol to be sinful, I regularly ask a new person that I meet with if they are okay with drinking alcohol, just so I can be considerate toward their needs. There have been many times throughout my 14 years as a Christian where I chose not to order a glass of wine for the sake of my brother or sister. Because we should be ready to repent if we cause one of God's children to go against their conscience. Jesus says, but if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned into the depths of the sea. Pretty serious words from Jesus. When those who are weak are loved like that, they recognized that they are not invisible among the strong. They don't have to compromise their own conscience to fit in with the strong. They are seen, they are loved, and they are known. They may choose to change their viewpoint, or they may not. But what happens when someone becomes weak with them is that they feel seen and they feel honored. The conversation may look like this. I disagree with you, but I am going to seek to understand you. And a friendship develops. And we live in harmony with each other. We become united despite our differences, to the point where Paul says we should together with one voice worship God. Paul is calling us to live in harmony with each other, which literally means to live our lives with a group of people thinking the same thing, which is thinking about honoring Jesus by honoring each other. The strong does not eat the weak. The strong surrenders to the weak for the sake of unity. Live in harmony with God's people who put their hope in God. In verses 6 and 7, Paul is now talking to the strong and to the weak Christians. He challenges them both to accept each other because Jesus has accepted them. And then he tells them to remember that Christ entered human history as a servant to Jews and to Gentiles who are non-Jews. The Christian Jews and the Christian Gentiles who are non-Jews in Rome are struggling with accepting each other because of their convictions on eating certain foods, religious practices on certain days, and drinking pagan-loved wine. But Christ died for both Jews and Gentiles equally. He was a servant to both equally. And the underlying theme Paul is addressing here for the strong and the weak is humility. Have humility over the issues we painfully disagree on for the sake of unity. To have pride means you think you know everything around a particular situation. But to have humility means you recognize that you don't know everything around a particular situation, and you pursue unity instead. Paul ends this section in verse 13 with a prayer wish. My prayer and my desire for you, Roman Christian, is that God will fill you completely with joy and peace as you honor your conscience. The strong and the weak disagree, but Paul believes they should still be filled with joy and peace even while they disagree, because they have honored each other. What is of utmost importance is not whether they can or can't drink wine made from pagan temples. What is of utmost importance is whether they are united in Jesus because their hope is in God. And they can still love each other as family despite their differences, which Paul says can only be made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you live in harmony with God's people who put their hope in God? The real tension for us here on the East Side is how we view our relationships in the church. God is calling us to set aside our priorities for the sake of our brothers and sisters. How will you prioritize the needs of your brothers and sisters over your own needs for the sake of harmony? Do you realize that the ancient religion you belong to is from the Eastern world, where the community is more important than the individual? In his book, Reading Romans with Eastern Eyes, Jackson W., who was an American missionary in China for 20 years, writes that when we see our sense of identity as distinct from others and habitually insist on our rights and prerogatives above others with whom we have relationship, we become isolated individualists. Consequently, they cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the gospel. Recovering a collectivist or communal perspective equips the church to honor other members of Christ's body. Family, I want to invite us to repent of how we have compromised our faith with our culture and recover the ancient identity that the church is a family, that is a supernatural community with one identity and not many individual identities. That nothing in this world or this country has ever seen. May God give us the strength and the courage to live in harmony together despite our differences. Let's pray. And the band can come forward as I pray. Father, thank you for letting me speak. Even though it hurt people's ears. Lord, we contemplate now what you have taught us in your word. Help us to live in harmony with each other. How beautiful, Lord, it is when we see the nations represented in one room. When we see people from different political streams in the same room. When we see people speaking, people from different parts of the country in the same room. A Philadelphian and a Seattleite, which could never happen, happened. Lord, I'm grateful for your gospel that unites us despite our differences. Family, will you live in harmony with God's people who put their hope in God? Will you live in harmony with your deacons and elders here at SOMA? Family, what is God calling you to have humility in at SOMA East Side and on the East Side? Are you struggling to live in harmony with people in your life today? Would you speak to the Lord now and confess to him? Help me to live in harmony with the people I disagree with for the sake of your gospel. For the sake of this lost city of men, women, and children who don't know you, who are hopeless, who, for whatever reason, live under the spell that the strong eat the weak. Lord, help us to surrender to the weak, to win the weak of you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now we're going to have a meal, worship, repent, cry out, sing out to our God and great Savior Jesus Christ. Grab a friend, grab a brother and sister, partake in bread and juice that symbolizes Jesus' broken body on our behalf and his shed blood for our sins. And because he has risen from the dead, we have been free in Christ.